And please turn to John chapter 18 if you want to follow along. I want to begin reading in verse 33. This is where our Lord Jesus was brought before Pilate. Verse 33, John 18, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And I'm just going to stop right there. What I want to speak to today is everyone that is of the truth. Everyone of the truth. Now, in this world we have, especially in this season of this year, there are a lot of people who love to hear their own voice. There's a lot of talking going on out there, both secular and religious. But it makes you wonder sometimes how much listening is going on. And of that listening that is going on, how much of that listening is actually someone listening to the truth of God? And I'm afraid I'd have to say, from my own empiric evidence, not much. Not much. What this world seems to be concerned with, speaking about, and listening to, is actually the exact opposite of the truth of Christ. Walter, you said this morning on the radio, there's a lot of boasting going on out there. They're boasting about their free will. They're boasting about what they've done. They're boasting that they have an ATM inside. They'll boast about anything, but the only thing we have to boast in is our Lord Jesus Christ and Amen. Him crucified. Now, some will use Scripture, and there are some around us who actually disdain almost all Scripture. But even with the use of Scripture, there's a void where the truth should be proclaimed. What we have all around us are people with itching ears. And they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And I used to feel kind of bad about that, because I have a problem with preachers getting up and lying about God. Yeah. I really do. I don't like it at all. I don't like it when they exalt man and they try to bring down Christ.
Right.
And I'd feel sorry for the people that had to listen to him. But then there was a preacher on television, well, actually he was on my computer, that I listened to, and he actually made a point, and it's a very valid point. They love to have it that way. There's plenty of other places to go, but that's where they want to go. That's where they want to be. So they've got the itching ears, and their preachers have the itching ears, and they're scratching each other. That's the way of the religious world that we're in today. That's not what Jesus Christ is talking about here. It's not the way of Jesus. Verse 36 starts off, I can't go by this without just a little bit. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus answered Pilate, "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Three times he used the phrase, "my kingdom," one time, "my servants." Guess what? Jesus, at this time when he was speaking to Pilate, he had a kingdom and he had servants. He used the possessive pronoun, "my." The same exact word he uses when he talks about my sheep, which are not of this fold. My sheep that will come in. My sheep that I will bring. My sheep. This is my kingdom. Now, three times, like I said, he says, "my kingdom." He's got a kingdom now. I'm not going to fight about it. That's just what this scripture says. That's about all this scripture says. I'm not going to get into it. What it doesn't say, other than the fact of Jesus did not say, "I don't have a kingdom." Jesus did not say, he didn't even say, "I don't have a kingdom yet." He said, "My kingdom's not of this world." That's what he tells us about it. It's not from hence. It's not of the world. It's not from the world. His kingdom is from the Father. There are those who want to interpret it that "I don't have a kingdom now," or "I don't have a kingdom yet." That's not what this scripture says. Not even close. But I'm trying not to interpret, but to preach. He said, our Lord said, he has a kingdom and it's not of this world. I will add this. He didn't say it'll never be in this world. Lots of people want to add all kinds of things to the scripture, but there's no sense in it. The scripture's tough enough with what he says. And what that means is, the deeper meaning is, that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. Because if it was of this world, my servants would fight. And I'm going to tell you something. If it was of this world, his servants would fight and they'd have won. Why? Because they got him as king. This is the point. He is a king. When he was talking to Pilate, he was king. Before he came into this world, he was king. Right now, he is king. And he's coming back and he's going to be revealed as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, yes, and today and forever. Yes. Now, if you got a problem with him being king, you got a problem with him being Lord, that's your problem. The scriptures have no problem with it at all. Just don't add to the scripture. That's all we ask. His kingdom is not a worldly kingdom. His kingdom does not rise out of the world. Now, if you want to, go look in other places. There's more things about the kingdom said. But that's all he's saying here. He's letting Pilate know he's got a kingdom, whether Pilate believes him or not. Pilate answered, said to him, "Art thou there a king? Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered him. But you notice, Pilate asked it as a question. He framed it as a question. Jesus Christ answered with a statement. "Thou sayest it. Thou sayest it. I'm a king. You said it, brother." That's what you want to put it. You said it. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, he's king. Amen. And that goes for Pilate and for everyone else. Whether they know it or not, whether they like it or not, whether they want it or not, this man is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King. Then he states this: to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Everything God does is on purpose. Everything Christ did was on purpose. Now, we'll know from Ephesians where Paul writes, it's all done according to the will and the purpose of the Father who sent him.
Amen.
It's the purpose of God that Jesus Christ came into this world. It was according to the will of God that Jesus Christ came into this world. And it was the will of God that Jesus Christ accomplished in this world. There was a purpose for the incarnation of God manifest in the flesh. And the purpose expressed here to Pilate and to us, as it's recorded, to this end was I born. To this end I was born. This is everything this Bible had been leading up to this point. It was leading to this place at this time to speak to Pilate, to tell him I was a king. I am a king. I am. There is a purpose for Jesus appearing both before the high priest and Pilate. That purpose that he reveals here, he says, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now it's stated in this place and in other places a lot of times, the truth is more important than most people ever realize. It is. It is the gospel. It's a fact. That's right, Mason. It's a fact. There is a truth, if you want to put it this way, with a capital T. A lot of people don't believe that. That was Pilate's reaction down here. A lot of people do not believe in the truth. A lot of people don't believe there is the truth. But Jesus Christ said, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. That is a word of purpose. That I should bear witness to the truth. Jesus Christ did bear witness to the truth. That word means to testify, give evidence, or to bear record. John chapter 1 and verse 14 states this: and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. What specific glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What? Full of grace and truth. This Word that was God, that was with God, that created all things, was manifest in the flesh, full of grace and truth. And why did he write it that way? Because you cannot separate the truth from grace.
Amen. That's right.
And you can't separate grace from the truth. Our Lord is gracious, and our Lord is full of truth. If you've been given grace, you'll be given the truth. And if you know the truth, it's because you've been given grace. There is no separation of the two. Can't be. Can't be. Because God has promised it this way. Grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory. Truth is tied, attached to grace in Christ Jesus. Understand? This is what I'm saying. No grace, no truth. And no truth, no grace. I can't be any more simple than that. There is no separating Jesus from the truth. John 14 and verse 6. I'm in the wrong place. There it is. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by me. You can't separate Jesus from the truth. He is the truth. He's not only full of grace and truth, He is the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Amazing. Then he makes this statement. And it's another one of these flat statements. Christ didn't ask many questions. He did ask a few people questions. He asked some people questions that they didn't want to answer. This is a flat statement. Everyone that is what? Of the truth heareth my voice. Now, that's as much a fact as that he is full of grace and truth. That's as much a fact as that he is God manifest in the flesh. He said it. It's true whether we get it or not. And how many? Everyone. Are you sure? Everyone. If you look it up, it's that little word pies. It means all. In this case, all that is of the truth, hear my voice. So how many are we talking about? We're talking about everyone that is of the truth. I mean, is this clear? Do we need to debate? There ain't no debate in the words of Christ. There's only bowing to them. There's only trying to understand them. Oh, what about those that draw back, Mason? That's somebody else. The writer of Hebrews is clear. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But he doesn't stop there. But we. Who's this we here? I'm going to tell you, this we is those that are of the truth. Amen. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's a guarantee from the Son of God. Amen. Now the question we'll have to get to is, what does it mean to be of the truth? Because it is, in this phrase, spoken by our Lord, it is a qualifier. There are those who are of the truth, and evidently there are those who are not of the truth. It's a qualifier, a description, if you will. And this description comes right after he told Pilate part of the purpose that he came. That he should bear witness to the truth. Right after that he says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. His purpose coming into this world leads to everyone of the truth hearing his word. That's part of his purpose of being here. He came to bear witness to the truth. The question is to everyone. Is it to everyone? Well, yes, but in different ways. I'm not going to go back to it, but you can look at Matthew and look at other places. He told them, he spoke in parables so that some would not understand.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Religious societies hate that phrase.
Yeah.
I've heard people on record albums lie and switch it the other way.
Yeah.
I heard a fella say that Jesus spoke in parables so that all could understand. And that's the exact opposite of what he said. That's a lie about the truth. This world's full of them. This world's full of them. Everything our Lord Jesus Christ said is the truth. God cannot lie. And Jesus Christ is God. However, our Lord made himself clear that some are to know the things of his kingdom and some are not. That's what he says. It's plain.
Yeah.
And here he says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The first part I actually want to look at is my voice very quickly, because there's two places I want to go. This one here is the first time you hear his voice. It's in John 5 and beginning in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that has sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word. For verily, verily, I say unto you, this is verse 25, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now this is the first time, right here in verse 25, where the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. That's the first time any man born on this earth hears the voice of the Son of God. The Son quickens whom he will. Just as the Father quickens whom he will. And just as it says in Ezekiel, when he says, I come upon thee when you were polluted in your own blood, and I said unto you, live. That takes the power of the voice of the Son of God. That's what it takes to start. But I read in verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him hath everlasting life. You hear his voice once, but it's not the last time you hear him. That's what he's talking here in John 18. But he's already said this in John 14. You don't want to forget it. You can't just concentrate on one piece of scripture and forget everything else. Because everything else that's still in the Bible... Yeah, I dearly love that Acts, Ephesians 2 and 8's in there.
Yeah.
No matter what I think, no matter what I do, Ephesians 2, 8's in the Bible.
Yeah.
By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Well, this is just as true. The dead have to hear the voice of the Son of God in order to live.
Amen. That's right.
And after they live, guess what? They hear and they believe. They believe him and they believe the truth. And he'll fix it so that they hear it. He's promised it. We hear his word and believe on him because we have heard his voice. We have been given everlasting life because we have heard his voice. And we have heard his voice because he has spoken to us individually, specifically, personally, and in his own good time, according to his own good pleasure. And they that hear shall live. Because the Son gives life, he quickens whom he will. Have you heard his voice? Do you live? Because he continues to speak to those that he has given life. In his word, through his preaching, through any number of ways nowadays. Paul's got a little computer tablet over there. It's got the Bible on it. I got one in the car. I don't bring it in because I don't think it'll work when I want it to. Or I need it to. I like books. But I also have backup. It's all right. All right. How do we know we're of the truth? 1 John, please, if you would. In 1 John chapter 3. Verse 13. I got to read this. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Don't marvel. It hated our Lord for it hated you. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, drop down to verse 18. I'm not going to read all the rest of it. Sake of time. My little children, this is verse 18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here's the point. Verse 19. And hereby we know that what? We are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Hereby, because of this, where it says, we love the brethren, we know we've passed from death unto life. We love in not just in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's what it means also to be of the truth. And John, the man who wrote this, is the same one who is recording these words of Christ here. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? Walter, I remember for a long time, I never did quite grasp that. God, the Father, has brought us into his family. This Bible is a book of family.
Amen, that's right.
Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. If you don't like hanging around the brethren, if you don't like gathering together to hear the truth preached, or to gather together just to talk about the truth, or to be with the people of God, to be with people who know the same Lord you know, you might want to check. You call it an election.
That's right. Amen.
Because everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's what Christ said. This is how we know we are of the truth. We love the brethren. And we love the brethren, why? Because we have heard His voice. We got nothing to boast in. We got nothing to boast in. It's all a gift. We hear and believe His word. Why? Because we have heard His voice. I said that where Christ said this, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I said that was a qualifying statement, a description statement, descriptive. He's the one that qualifies us. He's the one that gives the gift of life, the gift of the truth. First John 4:4 says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Everyone that is of the truth is everyone that has been brought into Christ. Has been brought in. What's Paul, John say about the others? They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Right. And the world hears them, heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And boy, that becomes self-evident sometimes. That becomes... you normally don't have to wait for that. They'll be very happy to tell you they don't agree with you. They don't agree with Christ and they don't agree with His truth. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He that knows God hears us. Those are the words of the Apostle John. They're not mine. If you won't hear the Apostle John speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ, you're not of the truth. I mean, that's just the only conclusion I can come to. He that is of the truth hears my voice. John said, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. Why? Because we're talking about God, the God of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible, not the one of our own imagination.
Right.
And Jesus Himself said you would hear His voice. He, Christ, is the message. The preaching of Christ and Him crucified is the message. The words of Christ proclaimed and exhorted and expounded are the message of the true preacher. Whether it's an apostle or a pastor teacher, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He teaches us the things of Christ, the Son of God, because it's not my voice you need to hear. It's His voice. It's His word. It's His gospel. It's His power. It's His grace. It's His mercy. It's all His. Pilate asked, what is truth? And then he left, Walter. Didn't wait for an answer. I said a few weeks ago, if you have to ask, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. If you have to ask, what is truth? You don't know the truth. And I want to add to that just a little bit. If you're not concerned, if you're not desirous of, if you're not in love with the truth of Christ, if you don't want to hear His word, if you don't want to hear His voice, You don't know it.
Amen. That's right.
You don't know it. Because it's a funny thing. Walter, not only is he the greatest, the most wonderful thing I know, person I know, God I've heard, he's the most interesting person.
Yeah.
He's the most interesting thing. It captures my imagination sometimes. It boggles my mind. What he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do.
Amen.
I am in awe of God.
Yeah.
I am in awe of Jesus Christ. He came to bear witness to the truth to this little bunch of people here. To us. To everyone that is of the truth. He fixes it. He makes it so that you hear his voice.
Amen.
That I hear his voice. Everyone he calls with his voice lives. And everyone that he has called to life and given faith is of the truth and shall hear his voice. And this is how we know we are of the truth. We love the brethren. Because to be of the truth is to be in Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that has never changed. That will never change. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Our Father, we're thankful for this time. Most of all, thankful for your Son. We ask that you would give Walter the words we need to hear, the truth to be preached and proclaimed. In your Son's name, we ask. Amen.